It was a nursery. Slices of dim light fell through iron bars on the windows. Toys scattered across the hardwood floor and plush rugs, too. I saw a rocking horse and a set of chairs around a table low enough for a little person. Wooden blocks lay scattered near a fireplace. And on the other side of the room, Santino stalked toward a low, queen-sized bedstead wreathed in mosquito netting. I followed, my boots occasionally kicking a small plush animal.
Dear gods, he has children here? What kind of kids are raised by a demon?
Lucifer rules because he is powerful, but not only that. He rules because he is androgyne, almost like a queen bee, capable of reproducing. It took me 45 human years, but I finally found out how to birth another demon androgyne. All it takes is the proper genetic material and engineering, Dante. Engineering by the scientist Lucifer used to create humanity in the first place. And material taken from a Sedain, perhaps. A human psionic with the ability to heal. An almost direct descendant of the Anan Kimel. The demons that loved human women and raised families with them eons ago. Until Lucifer, fearing the birth of an androgyne on Earth, destroyed them.
It made a twisted kind of sense. I approached the bed slowly, step by step, needing to see.
Demon genes don't lose their potency as human genes do. Witness the growth of human psychic powers, the fantastic blossoming of those powers during the awakening.
Shut up. In the bed, under the smooth, expensive sheet, was a pale-haired little girl about 5 years old, sleeping the sleep of childhood innocence. Her long hair tangled over the pillow. I tasted salt and bitter ash. I knew that face. I had seen it before. She lay on her back, one chubby arm upflung. Her forehead was odd because there was a mark that glittered softly green on the smooth skin. My cheeks started to burn, an emerald. I wondered why Lucifer had one. I could tell this emerald wasn't implanted. It was too smoothly and sheerly a part of her skin, almost like a jeweled growth. It made me deeply, unsteadily sick to think that maybe my own emerald was an echo.
There are two branches of human psionics that are almost directly descended from the Anan Kimel, with the necessary recessive genes for my purposes. One branch is the Sedain, who hold the mystery of life. The other...
I stared at the child on the bed. The child that wore Doreen's young face.
The other is the necromance. This is why I took samples. Who do you think rules both worlds, Dante? Who do you think is the king of all you survey? It's him. We are all his slaves. But I have the egg, and the child that can topple him from his throne.
I swallowed, felt a dry lump in my throat.
You killed her. Doreen. For this?
My eyes tore away from the child's sleeping face to Santino's grinning mask.
Yes. I made a mistake, though. I shouldn't have killed her. I needed a human incubator. Once I harvested the marrow and discovered she had all the requisite characteristics, it took all the cash and illegal gene splicing that the Corvin family could supply me with to bring this little one to pass. But I did it. I found the shining path of genes that even Lucifer couldn't find with all his bloody tinkering. Now that I know how, I don't have to kill. All I need are female Sedain and necromances of certain power to blend with the codex in the egg. I can make as many androgynes as I want, capable of reproducing.
You killed her for this?
The child on the bed didn't stir. She slept like a human child, with deep, complete trust.
Think of it, Dante. You can be the mother of a new race that will topple Lucifer from his throne. You'll be the new Madonna. Your every need.
You killed her for this.
I backed up, kicking a small stuffed toy.
What is one small human life compared to freedom, Dante?
He stepped forward. I raised my sword yet again. The blue glow from the blade intensified and Santino flinched. It was only a small twitch, but I saw it.
A blessed blade will hurt him at least.
I could hear Jaffra Mel's voice.
Blessed steel. She believes.
Of course I believed. I saw the gods. I saw the Lord of Death up close. I had no choice but to believe. And that belief itself could be a weapon.
Maybe a blessed blade can even kill him.
You didn't just kill Doreen. You slaughtered her while you laughed. You're just a different species of psycho. That's all.
There's a window behind me. Oh gods, oh dear gods.
He waved his long, elegant fingers, as if I were bothering him with trifles, just like a fucking demon.
They were mothers of the future. They died for a reason. Don't you understand? Freedom, Dante! For demon and human alike! No more prince of lies behind the scenes, everyone bowing and scraping to his whim!
I was about to break for the window when the air pressure changed. The mark on my shoulder gave another screaming twinge.
Jaffra Mel!
My heart leapt. Santino's face twisted into a mask of rage. He lunged for me so quickly I barely saw him move. My sword jerked, blurring down as I threw myself sideways and back toward the open window. His claws clanged off the blade.
Dante!
Jaffra Mel!
Santino whirling with balletic grace. He bolted for the bed and I scrambled forward, thinking of his claws and the little girl. I was too slow. Shock and the recent loss of power and the swimming weakness dragged me down. He scooped up an armful of bedding and the child's slight form, and his clawed hand came up. Metal flashed. The impact of the projectile weapon caught me high in the chest. I fell, my head cracking against something unforgiving, maybe one of the blocks.
Strange, he shot me. Why did he shoot me?
You'd think a demon would be more creative. I lay there, stunned, for what seemed like a long, muffled eternity. Then I tried to roll onto my side. A bubble of something warm burst on my lips.
Blast bolts.
Pain bloomed in my chest, a hideous flower. I tried to roll onto my side again. No dice, just more pain, and the bubbling on my lips.
Blood, it's blood, I'm dying.
Oh my god, he shot her! God damn it, do something!
A gigantic grinding shock against my chest.
You can't leave me! You will not leave me to wander the earth alone! Breathe, damn you! Breathe!
Another shock, smashing through my bones. My left shoulder torn from its socket, liquid fire in my veins. Darkness tingled on the edges of my vision. I smelled flowers and blood and the musky smell of demon, drenching and absolute.
You will not leave me! You will not!
I tried to tell him to chase Santino, to kill him, to save the little girl, but before I could, death chewed me with diamond teeth and swallowed me. I stood on the bridge, irresolute, my feet bare against cold stone. I felt the familiar chill creeping up my fingers, up my arms. My emerald flashed as the souls fluttered past me, streaming over the bridge. The cocoon of light holding me safely on the bridge dimmed.
Why am I here? I'm not pulling a soul back, am I? I can't remember.
I looked at the other side of the bridge, the other side of the great hall. The blue crystal walls rang softly, a song I almost understood. I could feel it pressing in upon me. That great comprehension of death's secret. The current of souls pushed at me, the emerald's light weakening, my cocoon of safety shrinking. I saw the god. His form shimmering between a slender Egyptian dog and some other form, a shape of darkness that seemed to run like ink on wet paper even as I looked at it. My lips shaped the god's name.
Anubis.
The syllables sounded alien. The crystal walls shuddered. For a moment I saw stone, a great, grim, drafty stone hall with a dour-faced king upon a throne at the far end. The throne was crusted with gems, glittering madly, and at the king's side sat a queen with a face like springtime. I felt my mouth shaping alien words, but no sound came, desperation beating in my throat. I wanted so badly to understand the secret language, to feel the clasp of the god's arms around me as I laid my head on his chest and let the weight of living slip from me. The sound startled me. It seemed to take forever for me to turn around. Before I could, the sound came again, pulling me back. I struggled as if through syrup. I wanted to stay. I wanted to stay dead. One of the souls streaming past me halted, held up a pale hand, formless as all souls were. A crystal drapery of unique energy. Still, it seemed I knew it. Could put a face on it.
Go back! Go back!
I opened my mouth to protest. Shimmering, the soul brushed my cheek. Then I understood it was not a gong. It was my heart. And I was called back to the world.
Call her back!
Dizziness. Cold seeping up my arms. My heartbeat thudded in my ears. To be forced back into a body was excruciating. Even worse than being shot.
Dante! Damn! Let me go!
Scorching, pressed against the side of my face. A hand. I gasped a breath like knives. My chest hurt.
God damn you, Eddie! Let me go or I will kill you!
A great scalding wave of power lashed me.
Do not leave me. Do not leave me, Dante.
Light struck my eyes like a newborn's, and I reacted the same way. I was raw from the lash of Jaframel's power and Gabe's necromance. Jaframel closed his arms around me and rested his chin on my head.
No!
I cried because I had been wrong, and because I'd been right. I cried because the comfort of death was denied me. I cried because I had been dragged back into my weary body and shackled again. And I cried in relief. Clinging to Jaframel the demon. He was solid and warm and real, and I did not want to let go. I was weak but lucid as we headed back to Jace's manor. Eddie covered Jace with a plasgun most of the time. Gabe, paper pale with exhaustion and bloody all over, most of it was mine, piloted the hover. I didn't ask where it had come from. If it was Jace's, it was all right. If it wasn't, I didn't want to know. All three of them, Gabe, Eddie, Jace, looked as if they had been through the grinder. Eddie's left arm hung limply by his side. Jace's face was covered in blood from a scalp wound, and most of his shirt was torn off, stripes crisscrossing his torso. Gabe's clothes were tattered, filthy, smelling of smoke and blood and something suspiciously like awful. Jaframel carried me, His face was shuttered, closed, his eyes dark. A smear of my blood on one cheek. Santino had shot me in the chest. Otherwise, his dark coat was pristine. He occasionally stroked my cheek, sometimes glancing at Jace while he did so. I didn't want to know. I had the uncomfortable feeling I'd find out soon enough. I was too tired to think. My brain reeled drunkenly from one thought to the next. No logic, nothing but shock. The city lay under a pall of smoke. It looked as if a full-scale riot had gone down. I saw several craters, but the rain had intensified and was drowning the fires. The aroma of burning filled the air, even inside the hover. When we touched down at Jace's, it was a relief. Inside, Gabe herded us all into a sitting room done in light blue and cream. Eddie shoved Jace down on a tasteful couch. I hoped he'd searched this room. Jace could have a weapon stashed. It would be a while before I took another necromance job. If I went back to the borders of the Land of Death too soon, I would perhaps be unable to come back, training or no training. Gabe stalked across the room to a walnut highboy and tossed it open to reveal liquor bottles.
I need a motherfucking drink.
Me too.
The first words out of my mouth since leaving Santino's hideaway.
We need to move quickly.
Jeff Ramil carried me to the couch facing Jace's. Instead of setting me down, he simply dropped gracefully down himself, still holding me. A little rearranging, and I found myself in his lap, cuddled against him like a child. A child. I shuddered at the thought, but it was comforting, his heat and the smell of him.
Give me a minute, Danny. I just found out that one of my friends is a fucking traitor and yanked you out of Death's arms. At least let me have a bourbon in peace.
Well, pour me one, too. We've got big-time problems.
I never would have guessed. You get into more fucking trouble, Valentine. That thing nearly burned down the entire goddamn city looking for you.
I barely had the courage to look up at Jaframel's face.
You did that?
He shrugged.
I had to find you.
I let it go. Instead, I started telling my story. Gabe knew me well enough not to interrupt, and Eddie watched Jace. Halfway through, Gabe handed me a glass of bourbon and settled down stiffly in a chair, her split lip and black eyes combining to turn her thoughtful expression into sadness. I downed the liquor, then continued. By the time I got to the child sleeping in the bedroom, Jaframel's eyes were incandescent. He had turned slowly to stone underneath me. When I finished, silence stretched through the room. Then Gabe leapt to her feet and hurled her glass across the room. The shattering glass didn't make me jump, but that scream came close. Gabe half-whirled and pinned Jace with an accusing glare.
Traitor! You knew!
I didn't know a goddamn thing!
Let him talk. And while he does that, Gabe, can you take a look at Eddie's arm?
They all stared at me for a moment. Then Gabe moved stiffly to the hedgewitch and touched his shoulder. Some unspoken agreement seemed to pass between them, and Eddie's shoulders sagged just a little. I was so tired that for once it didn't hurt me to see Gabe press her lips to Eddie's forehead, but I did look away. I looked at Jace, who was paper pale, the tick of rage flicking in his cheek.
Talk fast, before I decide it was a bad idea to do that.
I didn't know a goddamn thing.
Gabe started poking at Eddie's arm, and I felt the vibration of her power start. She was doing a healing. Every time she pulled on power, it was like another astringent stripe against my abraded psyche. She had pulled me back from death.
Why didn't you tell me you were a blood Corvin? Are you part demon, Jace?
The question trembled on my lips. My skin crawled.
I'm not.
Jace sagged into the couch back. His hair was matted with blood and water. We were a sorry-looking group. Except for Jaframel, who was untouched except for the swipe of my blood on his cheek.
I was adopted by one of the four uncles. Sargon Corvin's adopted sons. Because of my psi potential. That's what gets you in the Corvins, psi. I hated every goddamn minute of it, Danny. Once Deke Corvin died, I made my escape and I ran as far as I could. And I met you.
You knew Sargon Corvin, the head of your fucking mob family, was Santino?
No. Gods, no. I swear on my staff, I had no idea. Nobody's seen Sargon for years except the older uncles.
They give all the orders, supposedly from him. I thought the Great Sargon was a motherfucking myth, Danny. Nobody was allowed into the inner complex where we found you. That's where all the gene research went down. They were heavy into illegal augments and gene splices because it made money. That's what I knew. I didn't know. I thought Sargon was after you for revenge, since my street war with them killed all three of the surviving uncles. They died hard, too. I've had my hands full while you were up in Saint City moping.
He dropped his head back, leaning against the couch, and swallowed, his Adam's apple bobbing.
He would know that the only way to hurt me would be to kill you, Danny. That's why I left you. And why I insisted you stay here during this little hunt of yours.
Why didn't you tell me you were a Corvin? You should have told me.
I tried not to sound hurt. I failed miserably. I was just too tired.
Everyone knows how you feel about the mob, baby. I never would have gotten past your front door.
So you lied to me.
I love you, Danny.
Dark circles stood out all the way around his eyes. He was unshaven, gaunt.
I didn't have a choice. Not if I wanted to stay clean. If I told you who I was, you'd have ditched me. I wanted to be clean for you. I was out until you went on the Morix job. They threatened to kill you. The only thing I could do was disappear and hope they would leave you alone. Sargon's been too busy to bother with you, I guess, while he perfected this fucking process of his and I slipped my chain and started giving him trouble. Until you came back and shoved yourself in his face again. I didn't know, Danny. If I had known, I would have killed him myself. Or tried to, at least. Why don't you ask your pet demon what the hell he knows about all this?
Watch your mouth, human. Did the prince know that Santino has gone so far as to create an androgyne? He would have brought Hellesfront, hell on earth, to bear on this Corvin family and wiped them from existence. This affects him far more than it affects you.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Jaframel lifted his free hand and stroked my hair back from my face.
You should rest, Dante.
What about the little girl? Did you know Santino was trying to breed a new kind of demon?
Not a new kind of demon. An extremely rare kind of demon. Lucifer is the prime. The first androgyne from whom all demons are descended. The younger androgynes are either his vassals or his lovers. It is not a thing spoken of to humans.
I was so damnably tired, my eyelids felt like lead.
So you knew. What does it mean, Jaframel? I died back there. I'm tired and feeling kind of stupid. Spell it out for me.
The egg is a sigil of the prince's reign. It holds the prince's genetic codex and a portion of his power. So much power that he cannot leave hell without it. Santino can access the genetic codex by virtue of his function as one of Lucifer's genetic scientists, but the power locked inside the egg is not his to use. If another androgyne unlocks the egg, the balance of power in hell itself will shift. The androgyne with the egg will control hell. And who will control the androgyne?
Santino.
I believed it. I didn't need the canisters or the vision of the little girl with Doreen's face to convince me any more than I already was. Demons played with genetics the way they played with technology. Some scientists said our own genes were proof of that. It was one of the greatest scientific mysteries, hotly disputed and contested by magi and geneticists. Could demons theoretically interbreed with humans? Only no demon had done so for thousands of years, if they ever had. If you could believe the old stories about demons marrying human women and giants roaming the earth. I thought of the rows and rows of canisters and shuddered. Santino had figured out how to make another Lucifer, a Lucifer he could use for his own ends. A lovely little malleable, controllable, genetic copy of Lucifer, using Doreen's genetic material in the process.
And now he wants to use mine. Or maybe just my body as an incubator, the new Madonna. Ugh. I escaped being assigned as a breeder in Rigor Hall. I don't want to be turned into one now for a crazed demon. And what about other Setayin or necromances, possibly kidnapped and forced to incubate more of the filthy little things?
I should have been angry. Jaframel had omitted to tell me far more than Jace had. But I only felt a weary gratefulness that the demon was here. A gratefulness I didn't want to examine more closely. Silence stretched through the room.
Ow! Fuck!
Sorry.
Gabe was bandaging Eddie's arm.
He's playing for control of hell itself. And if that happens, he will gain control of your world as well.
Exhaustion pulled at my arms and legs, wrapped my brain in cotton wool.
He says it's for freedom.
Freedom for Vardamol, perhaps.
I closed my eyes. It was so hard to think with the exhaustion weighing me down.
So what now?
Now I get a couple hours of sleep and do what I should have done in the first place.
And what is that?
Jaframel didn't move, but his arms tightened slightly. If I hadn't been so tired, I might have thought about that. Sleep was stalking me a little more gently than death had. It was the expected reaction. Most people fell into a deep sleep after being yanked back from death. It was the psyche's method of self-defense, trying to come to terms with brushing the infinite.
I'm gonna get up and find my sword and hunt the motherfucker down. Alone.
Not alone. We'll tie you up if we have to, Danny. Don't start that again.
I was about to tell her to back the fuck off when I passed out. The last thing I heard was Jaframel's voice.
If I did not leave her at death's door, I will not leave her now. I will take her to bed.
I slept for 28 hours. Plenty of time for Santino to get away.
What?
When I finally surfaced, it was to find myself tucked naked into a large dark green bed. The climate control was on, so the room was cool, even though fierce early morning sunlight stabbed through the windows.
No.
I blinked at the light, popping myself up on my elbows. My entire body ached. The reverberation of the plasgun bolt and power backlash. I'd pushed myself far beyond the limits of pain-free power use. I would be lucky to escape a migraine in the next 24 hours. My shoulder didn't ache, though. I touched the scarring of Jaframel's mark.
Oh!
I had to steel myself against a wave of painful nausea.
I'm here.
Jaff turned from the window. I hadn't seen him there, maybe dazzled by the sunlight. Maybe he hadn't wanted to be seen.
Rest, Dante.
I can't rest. Santino...
He's being tracked. You'll not be helpful if you do not rest.
He approached the bed, his black coat floating on the sunlight.
Events are moving, Dante. The prince, now that he knows what Santino is attempting, has placed the full resources of Hellesfront under my control. Every Hell on Earth agent is looking for Santino. He will not long escape our attention.
I sat up the rest of the way, gingerly, and rubbed at my eyes.
Unless he goes where there aren't any people. Human agents aren't any good if he stays out of sight like he's been doing for the past 50 years. Besides, he's mine. I started this hunt. I'm going to finish it.
Not all the agents are human. Vardamol is a scavenger. Despite his contempt for humans, he needs people, hungers for them. Hellesfront will find him.
What the hell are the demon police getting involved for? They can't kill him. I should know. I tried. Where are the others?
I squinted up at him. I wanted to see his face, but couldn't.
The other necromance and the Earth Witch are sleeping. Your former lover is sealed in a spare room, but otherwise unharmed.
Jaframel's eyes glowed with a light of their own. Backlit by the sun, he looked like a shadow with bright eyes.
I would speak with you of something else, Dante.
If Vardamol's a scavenger, what does that make you?
I am of the greater flight. He is of the lesser. I am not bound by his hungers.
Jaframel shrugged, but the movement wasn't as fluid as it usually was.
Is that why you're the devil's assassin?
He bared his teeth in a facsimile of a pained grin.
I am the prince's assassin because I am able to kill my brothers and sisters without qualm, Dante. And I am his assassin because he trusts me to do his bidding. I would speak to you of...
Is it true? Sedain and necromances, is it true?
He was silent for a long time.
It is true. Sedain and necromancers do carry recessive genes closely related to demons.
Gods, I'm human. I'm not a demon. I know I'm human.
I would speak to you about...
Later.
I slid my feet out of the bed. The blessed warmth of the covers was matched only by the blessed coolness of the climate control.
Get the others. We've got work to do.
He stepped back slightly, retreating into the sunlight.
You should eat something. Please.
I'll make you a deal.
I gained my feet in a rush, too happy to be vertical to care if I was naked.
He's a demon. He's probably seen plenty of naked women before.
You get the others here by the time I get out of the shower, and I'll eat breakfast while we plan.
I headed for the bathroom.
What?
I looked over my shoulder. My knees were shaky, but I felt surprisingly good despite having been shot and dragged back from death.
Your scars.
They don't hurt anymore. It was a long time ago. Look, Jeff.
Who did that to you?
Now there was a tinge of something else in his voice. It was my turn to shrug.
It was a long time ago, Jaffermel. The person who did that is dead. Get the others. I'll have breakfast while we plan.
That's what you get for walking around naked in front of a demon, Danny.
I managed to make it to the bathroom. I looked down at the other mass of claw scars on my belly. My ribs stood out, each one defined, my hip bones sticking out sharply. I'd lost weight. My legs trembled. I looked up, meeting my own eyes in the mirror.
I've faced Santino again and survived. Miracles do happen. Maybe this job won't kill me.
Gabe looked a lot better, especially with her long dark hair clean and pulled back. Eddie still favored one arm, but Gabe's healing charm had apparently sped his recovery, as well as hers. Her black eyes were now a yellow-green raccoon mask, and her split lip looked less angry. Jace was unshaven and moving a little stiffly, but his eyes were clear. He lowered himself cautiously into the chair Jaframel placed for him. Gabe didn't even spare him a look. Eddie, shaggy and direct as ever, stared at him for a full 20 seconds, lip lifting in a silent snarl. I sat cross-legged on the bed. It felt good to be dressed in clean clothes, and felt even better to be clean myself, my hair damp from the shower and smelling like sandalwood. Jaframel, expressionless, produced my katana. The sheath was lost, so I balanced naked metal across my knees.
Okay, breakfast is due up in a quarter hour. Jaframel's checked the staff here and says they're trustworthy. I'm gonna start tracking Santino as soon as—
Wait a minute!
Gabe held up her hand.
How in Hades are you gonna find him without alerting him? He's got a day's head start, and he's a demon. Magi magic might find him, but if he's on guard, it might just put him in a snit. And we can't afford to have you come down with another case of backlash. There's a limit to the amount of abuse you can take, Danny, despite what you seem to think.
I held up my hand.
Gabe, we may not be able to track him, even with Dake's little toy. But he's got the kid. And the kid's at least half Doreen. I shared my mind and my bed with her. I can find the kid. We're bound by Doreen's blood. Where she is, Santino will be.
Gabe glanced at Jace, seemed about to say something, and stopped.
What about this kid? What the demon's gonna do with her?
I looked up at Jaframel, who shrugged. His eyes darkened, more strange runic patterns slipping through their depths, but he looked down at the floor as if avoiding my gaze.
The prince will perhaps take her as a lover, or as a vassal. Androgynes are precious, and she is far too young to challenge his rule.
Like hell, I'll take care of the kid. I owe it to Doreen. Lucifer didn't contract me to bring the kid back. He contracted me to kill Santino and return this egg thing. He doesn't even need to know about the kid. You haven't told him, have you, Jaframel?
Please tell me I've guessed right and he hasn't told Lucifer about the kid.
Silence crawled through the room.
You would ask me to lie to the prince.
The demon stood at the side of the bed, his head down, his eyes hidden, hands clasped behind his back. His coat rustled slightly.
Why do you wear that thing?
You can't trust a demon, Danny.
I ignored Jace, watching Jaframel. His reaction told me he'd kept his mouth shut. If he hadn't told Lucifer about the little girl, he had to have guessed I would ask him not to. He finally tilted his head back up, his green eyes meeting mine for a long moment. It wasn't hard to hold his gaze anymore.
I have not told Lucifer of the child. Only that Vardamol was attempting to create an androgyne. I did not think it wise, as Lucifer would perhaps seek a different means of effecting Santino's capture that would endanger you, Dante.
He paused, his eyes holding mine.
Here it comes.
However, to lie to the prince after Santino is dead, I will do as you ask, but in return I will ask a price.
I shrugged.
I expected as much. What price?
My throat went dry.
I will tell you when the time comes. It is nothing you cannot pay.
Jace sat bolt upright.
Danny!
Shut up, Jace.
My eyes were still fixed on the demon.
All right, Jaframel. It's a deal. God's grant I don't regret it.
I would speak with you privately, mistress.
That managed to hurt my feelings.
So we're back to mistress, are we? You will not leave me to wander the earth alone. Did he really say that, or was it some kind of near-death hallucination?
I shook the thought away, hair sliding over my shoulders.
Soon enough. Gabe, I need you and Eddie at full strength. Do what you have to do to get there. We're hitting the trail as soon as possible. Before 12 hours, I need a workup of every bit of munitions we can beg, borrow, or steal. Everything. Plas guns, assault rifles, projectile guns, explosives, everything. Eddie, I need as many golem eye as you can make before we leave. And fire starters, too. You're the best skinlin I know, and the mud things will even the odds for us. Jace?
He flinched as I said his name, his shoulders hunching protectively.
Get yourself up to full strength and outfit us. We need transport, supplies, and passports into Mob Circle.
Ah! Mob Circle? Are you crazy?
We can't travel everywhere in the world just on a hunt. If Santino goes into any free towns, Mob Circle passports will give us some kind of protection and a place to sleep. Can you do that, Jace?
He was paler than I'd ever seen him. His blue eyes stuttered up to mine, then slid away, as if he couldn't stand to look at my face.
You'd trust me? You'd trust me to do that?
I'm not gonna forgive you. I'm just going to overlook the fact that you took up a year and a half of my life with a complete lie. You do this for me, and we're even. Your debt's paid. After this job, I never want to see your face again. If I see you after this is over, I'll fucking kill you. But if you help me take Santino down, I'll let you go your own way. Alive. All accounts balanced.
Danny!
You lied to me. Every time you touched me, it was a lie, and you didn't come clean when I came here either. You kept lying to me. What were you thinking? I'd never find out?
You never would have.
Well, we'll never know, will we? I never had the chance.
I shook my head, looking away to where the sheaf of sunlight fell into the green room, pure light glowing on every surface. It was nothing like the clear light of death, but it was close enough that my heart twisted. The room was beautiful, clean, and made my entire body hurt. I wanted to be home. With Santino dead and the devil's lies and little games out of my life.
Either you do this for me or I'll kill you, Jace. It's that simple.
I don't know if it was my tone or the way my face felt frozen. Or maybe it was just the way my fingers touched the katana's hilt. But Jace believed me. He stared at the floor, his jaw working.
Fine. If that's the way you want it, then that's the way we'll play it.
Good.
I looked up at Jaframel, who was wearing a faintly startled expression.
Jaframel?
He shrugged again, one of those faint, evocative movements. Nothing to add or subtract.
And he won't talk to me in front of them. Fine.
Okay. That about covers it. Let's get moving.
Jace hitched himself up to his feet with a single measuring glance at Eddie. The skinlin sat absolutely still, his eyes slitted, his hair tangling over his forehead.
I'll start working on passports and supplies. The staff will bring you breakfast and whatever else you need.
He strode from the room without giving me a second glance.
Are you crazy? What if he's still working for Santino?
He's not. If he was, we'd all be dead.
You're letting him off easy.
I knew it. 10 years ago, I might have gone after Jace just on principle. but I was too tired. And the vision of all those canisters behind that glass shield, Santino's claws scritching against the glass, wouldn't go away.
So much death. Who am I to add to it? I'm a necromance. It's my job to bring people back. I'm so tired of killing.
Danny, you're letting him off easy. You should fuck him up at the least. Break a few bones.
Gabe reached out with her bare toes to rub Eddie's knee.
Relax, Eddie. She knows what she's doing. The munitions aren't for a frontal assault on Santino, are they, sweets?
Of course not. They're for erasing whatever's left of the Corvins from the face of the earth. And Jace is gonna do it himself. If he fails, we don't get any blowback, because Jace will be dead and his family just another failed attempt at cutting out turf. If he succeeds, Santino doesn't have a mob family to do his dirty work. I'm free of the Corvin family for good, and Jace will owe me a big-ass favor since he'll be free too. Really free, not just street war free.
Comprehension started dawning on Eddie's hairy face.
The Golemi and the Firestarters?
The Golemi. Semi-sentient mud creatures a Skinlan could create from organic matter and pure magic made my skin crawl.
Those are for Santino.
We had a nice, if hurried, breakfast. The thick Nuevo Rio coffee with chicory did a good deal to dispel the cobwebs and ease my pounding head. Jaframel was oddly silent, watching me eat, occasionally walking to the window and gazing out, his hands clasped behind his back. I didn't want to know. His silence seemed to infect all of us. Maybe there was just nothing left to say. The maids who came to clear away breakfast were both pale, their hands trembling, stealing little glances at me out of the corners of their eyes. I couldn't even work up enough steam to care. You'd think they'd be used to scions, working for a shaman. I finally sent Gabe and Eddie to do their work. I looked down at my katana. Oddly enough, the blade didn't seem to be reacting to Jaframel's presence. It should have been spitting glowing blue as it had every other time he'd touched it. Then again, after dealing with Santino and almost dying, there was precious little power left in the steel. I'd have to recharge before I could make my blade burn again. It was a kind of torture. The longer we waited, the more prepared we were to kick Santino's ass, but the more time he had to dig himself into a bolt hole, it would cost us blood to crack. Jaframel turned on his heel, sunlight falling into the bottomless dark of his coat.
Okay.
I slid my feet off the bed and stood up, the katana whirling in an ellipse that ended up with the blade safely tucked behind my arm, the hilt loosely clasped in my hand and pointed downward.
You've been acting weird, even for a demon. What's up?
He shook his head, light moving over the planes of his face. I took a closer look. I thought he was plain, his face saturnine and almost ugly. I'd never noticed the exact arch of his eyebrows, his thin mouth half quirked into a smile, or the high, impossible arcs of his cheekbones. It was nothing to compare to Lucifer's beauty, of course. But he was actually kind of easy on the eyes.
Spit it out. You said you had something to discuss with me?
My bare feet curled against the hardwood floor and I shivered. I was so used to the blanket of Nuevo Rio heat by now that the climate control was a little chilly. Jaframel took one step toward me, then another. His eyes burned, seeming to make the sunlight on his face slightly green. He approached slowly, his hands clasped behind his back, and finally ended up looming over me, less than a foot away. The musk smell of demon drenched me, his aura sliding over mine. I tilted my head back to look up into his face.
Well?
He shook his head again. Then he unclasped his hands. His left hand came up, cupped my right shoulder. He scorching through the material of my shirt. His eyes caught mine. My heart gave a huge, thudding leap.
Jaframel?
He slid his left hand down my right arm, and his fingers curled over mine. He took the katana's hilt from my hand, I would have lunged for the sword, but his eyes held mine in a cage of emerald light.
Dante.
I blinked. Are you all? His eyes flared and the words died in my throat. Then, the crowning absurdity. He slowly, so slowly, dropped down to his knees, his hand still holding mine. He wrapped his other arm around me and buried his face in my belly.
Nothing in my life has ever prepared me for this.
I stood rigid, uncertain. Then I lifted my free hand and smoothed the rough, inky silk of his hair.
Jaffermel, what?
I fail.
His breath blurred hot through my shirt to touch my skin. I barely understood him. His voice was so muffled. He pressed against me like a cat or a child.
I failed you.
What are you talking about?
My voice refused to work properly. He looked up, his arm still pressing me forward. His eyes blazed so brightly I almost expected to smell scorching in the air.
I knew you were not dead, for I was not returned to hell. Yet I did not know what Vardamol would do to you. Keep you alive to torture you, or wait until I reached you before he killed you. I did not know, Dante. I failed to protect you, and you were taken.
It's all right. Look, you couldn't know they'd paste me with a plasgun bolt. Even you can't outrun one of those. It's not your fault, Jaffermel.
I found myself faced with a vision of an existence without you, Dante. It was unpleasant.
His lips peeled back from his teeth in a pained snarl that tried to be a smile.
You will not leave me to wander the earth alone!
His voice traced a rough line through my memory. I smoothed his hair. The inky darkness was silky, slightly coarse, slipping through my fingers.
Hey, don't worry about it. It's all right now.
I sounded awkward even to myself.
He's a demon, Danny. What is he doing?
You will hate me, Dante. It cannot be avoided.
I don't hate you.
Great comeback, Danny. He's too old for you. He's not even human. But he came for me. No, only because he's got a stake in this. He's playing with you, Danny. He's playing. I don't care. He doesn't look like he's playing. I don't care.
But you're...
You must know. I am no longer demon.
My fingers stopped, curled into his hair.
What? What the hell are you talking about?
He looked up at me. He was queerly pale under the even, golden tone of his skin.
I am no longer demon. I am fallen. I am Anankimel. I have set you as a seal upon my heart. I will not return to hell.
His arm tensed, and so did his fingers holding my right hand. My mouth went dry.
Profound response, Danny.
He waited, patient and expectant, staring up at my face. I regained the power of speech.
You mean, what do you... What?
I am yours.
Why?
I could kick myself. How do I get into these situations? I'm chasing one demon and I have another kneeling at my feet and oh my dear gods, what am I going to do?
Because you are the only being in eternity who has treated me as an equal.
His arm tightened a little more. My knees buckled slightly.
You have trusted me. You have even defended me to your precious friends. I have watched you, Dante, in daylight and in shadow, and I have found you fair.
More Danny.
Jaffermel?
My price for silence to Lucifer is this. Do not send me from your side.
You watched my face.
When you have killed Santino, allow me to remain with you.
My brain seemed to be working through syrup.
Well, you know, I can't have a demon hanging around.
Why not? You court death, Dante. You have found nothing to live for. You walk alone. I have seen your loneliness, and it gives me pain. Besides, it seems you are foolhardy enough to need me.
It occurred to me that I should protest about that one, but it was hard to find an objection in the soup my brain had become. Common sense warned me to be cautious.
He's a demon. Demons lie.
It was the first rule in Magi and ceremonial training. Beings that weren't human had non-human ideas about the strict truth of any situation.
What's in it for him?
And yet, he had stood behind me while I faced Lucas Villalobos. He'd tried to follow me into death, and he'd burned down damn near a third of Nuevo Rio looking for me.
But Lucifer has him by the balls, too.
What about your freedom?
When we win my freedom, it is mine to do with as I will. I will stay with you, Dante, as long as you will allow it, and perhaps after.
I chewed on my bottom lip, thinking about it. I had no way of knowing if he was telling the truth.
Why now? Why tell me this now?
I told you there was a way. I wish to give you a part of my power, Dante, and I must do it quickly, before I become more Anankamel than I already am. It will bind me to your side, and your world will become my domain. There is only a short time for me to bond with you, before I fall into darkness and a mortal death.
His arm loosened a little, but I couldn't have gotten away if I tried, because he rose to his feet, my right hand still trapped in his left. I had to tip my head back to look at him. My heart pounded and my palms slipped with sweat, and I had the lunatic idea that maybe I would start screaming. Once I got my breath back, something about his eyes was making it difficult to breathe.
Oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Now he's smiling.
It was a gentle smile, and my entire body seemed to recognize it. His free hand came up, cupped the side of my face.
Not a demon. My Hedera. Courage, Hedera.
His breath touched my cheek. Then he leaned down, and his mouth met mine. It's said by the Magi that demons invented the arts of love, and I was tempted to believe it. The kiss tore through me, lightning filling my veins, the smell of him invading me, making me drunk, blood warm, his darkness folded around me. My hands came up and clasped behind his neck. My entire body arched toward his. He tipped me over onto the bed. I didn't care. He bit his lip, and the smoke and spice of demon blood filled my mouth. I swallowed, choked on the scorching hot fluid. His power wrapped around us both. I was too far gone to think. Nothing but a welter of sensation, my throat burning, eyes closed, his hands tearing at my clothes, finding bare skin and burning me all the way down to the bone. I was shaking and shuddering, wet with sweat, my heart exploding inside my chest. And when he drove his body into mine, I nearly lost consciousness. Thrashing away from pleasure so intense, it was like the chill, sweet darkness of death. It was like dying, being held in his arms while the power tore through me. Remade me. And finally drove me down deep into twilight. Again.
Mm.
The soupy, half-conscious daze lasted for a long time. I would surface for long enough to remember where I was. Completely naked, in a demon's arms, lying in one of Jace Monroe's beds. And then my mind would shiver back into a kind of half-sleep.
What?
My entire body burned, changing. He held me when my bones shifted into new shapes. Things moved under my skin, internal organs changing and moving, my heart pulsing.
It's good. Don't fight it. Let it.
He murmured into my hair, his voice taking away the pain and bathing me in narcotic drowsiness. It ended with a final flush of power that coated my skin, sealing me away. I came back to myself. Jaframel lay next to me, my hair tangled over his face, my head pillowed on his shoulder. His fingers, no longer scorching hot but merely warm, trailed up my back.
It's done.
For the first time, he sounded tired. Exhausted.
It hurt.
That was the first shock.
What?
My voice wasn't my own anymore. Instead, it was deeper, full of a casual power that gave me goose flesh. Or would have given me goose flesh if my skin hadn't been so... I looked at my hand. Instead of my usual paleness... A necromance almost never went out in daylight unless forced to it. I found my hand covered with golden, poreless skin. My nails were still crimson and lacquered with molecule drip. I still wore my glittering rings. But that just made my hand look even more graceful and wicked.
Anubis, what did you... What did...
I have shared my power with you. There was pain, but it's over now. You share a demon's gifts, Dante. Though you are not demon yourself, you will never be a demon.
A kind of dark, screaming panic welled up from behind my breastbone. But I was too tired. Or not precisely tired. I was numb. Too much had happened. One shock after another. I was too emotionally drained to react to anything right now. And that was dangerous. Numb meant not thinking straight, and thinking straight was the only thing that was going to keep me alive.
You did what?
You are still everything you were. Now you are simply more. And Vardemol will not be able to kill you so easily.
Sekhmet Sias!
I pushed myself up, trying to untangle my body from his. A few moments of confusion ended up with me sitting, the sheet clutched to my chest, staring at him. Bare, hairless, golden chest, his collarbones standing out, and behind him, glaucous darkness lay on the bed.
So that's why he never takes it off.
I had to put my head down on my knees.
They're wings. Oh my gods, they are wings.
I hyperventilated for what seemed like ages. Jaframel's hand on my back, spread against my ribs. The heat from his touch comforted me, kept the gray fuzz of shock from blurring over my vision. Finally, the panic retreated. But it was a long time before I looked up and found that the room was going dark.
How long has it been?
10 hours or so. It takes a short while for the changes to...
I wish you hadn't done that. I wish you'd warned me.
You would not have allowed it if I had. And now you are safer, Dante.
How safe?
I couldn't believe I was having this conversation with a naked demon. Then another more terrible thought struck me.
Am I still a necromance?
Of course. Or at least, I presume so.
You presume so?
Okay, so maybe I wasn't numb, just stunned. I stared at him, my heart pounding. No, not numb. Stunned and numb and terrified. Dark circles ringed his green eyes.
I presume so. I have never done this before.
Oh, great.
I looked down at the side of the bed. My clothes lay in a shredded heap.
Jaframel...
You could thank me if you were a Magi.
I'm not a Magi. I'm a necromance. And I'm human.
Not anymore.
He levered himself up from the bed.
I told you, I will not allow you to be harmed. I swore on the waters of Lethe.
Shut up!
I bolted up from the bed, yanking the sheet with me. It tore right down the middle. I stood there, looking at the long scrap of green cotton clenched in my hand.
Gods.
I suddenly found myself across the room. As a matter of fact, I had collided with the wall and plaster puffed out in a cloud. I had no real idea of how I'd gotten there.
Faster than human. I'm faster than human now. That will come in handy when I go after Santino.
I stared at my hands. My golden, perfect hands.
Why?
Gods above, why?
I swore to protect you, and I will not let you leave me behind, Dante. No one, demon or human, has treated me with any kindness except you. And even your kindness has thorns. Still.
No!
I clapped my hands over my ears and bolted for the bathroom. Jaframel watched this, expressionless. The vision that confronted me in the bathroom mirror made my stomach revolve.
Do I even have a stomach now?
I looked. Different. My tattoo was still there, quiescent against my cheek, the emerald glittering slightly. But otherwise, my face wasn't my own. Golden skin stretched over a face I didn't recognize. But there were my dark eyes, now liquid and beautiful. I looked like a Holovid model. Sculpted cheekbones, a sinful mouth, winged eyebrows. I touched my face with one wondering fingertip, saw the beautiful woman in the mirror touch her exquisite cheekbone, trace her pretty lips.
Oh,
I looked like a demon. It was only a ghost of the person I used to be left in my face. Jaframel's mark remained on my left shoulder, but it was a decoration instead of a scar, etched into my newly perfect golden skin. And my hair, Jaframel's inky black, but long, falling over my shoulders in choreographed strands. My flat stomach, lightly ridged with muscle, showed no more marks from Santino's claws. I twisted around, pulling my hair up, and strained my neck to examine my back in the mirror.
No ridged, thick whip scars.
I couldn't see my ass in the mirror, but I felt along the lower curve of my left buttock, and found no scarring there either.
Gone. They're gone. All except Jaframel's mark on my shoulder.
I dropped my hair over my back. Disorientation made me grab at the counter. I tried not to do it too hard, but my nails drove into the tiles. My hair fell over my face, tangling, tempting. I still clutched the piece of green cotton sheet in my other fist.
Anubis.
I closed my eyes, shutting out the vision. I sank down to my knees, sick and shaking, banged my head softly against the cabinet under the countertop.
Anubis at their ka.
A more terrible fear rose out of my panic-darkened mind.
What if the god no longer answers me? What if the emerald on my face goes dark? What if the god no longer accepts my offerings?
No. I felt the inked lines of my tattoo shift slightly and tried to breathe. If I could just breathe, I could find a quiet space inside myself and see if the god allowed me back. Jaframel gently freed my fingers from the tile, then knelt down.
Hush.
He took me in his arms.
Hush, Dante. Breathe. You must breathe. Shh. Hush. is not so bad. You must breathe.
He stroked my hair. My shallow gasps evened out, and I could open my eyes. I clung to him, the material of his coat soft against my fingers. Now that I knew what it was, it made me slightly sick to think about touching it. But he pressed his lips to my forehead, and the warmth of that touch slid through me, exploding like liquor behind my ribs.
You must be careful. You will damage yourself if you try hard enough. That will be unpleasant for both of us.
I hate you.
That is only natural. I am yours now, Dante. I am Anan Kimmel. I have fallen.
I hate you. Change me back. I don't want this. Change me back.
I cannot. You have a demon to hunt, Dante.
He stroked my hair. I couldn't help myself.
Oh, you have a demon to hunt, Dante.